Anybody know what's special about today? Today's a special day. Anybody? Take a shot. Throw anything out there you want, because what I have, you're never going to think of it. Today is the day the Lord has made. Yes, it is. Today we get to gather together and worship. It's National Snickers Day. It might be, but that's not what I got. Ooh, that would be really good. Today is the last time we are going to be talking about the book of Acts for this year. Believe it or not, next Sunday is Thanksgiving Sunday, and then we're in Advent. That's how close we are to the end of 2020, which we're probably excited to get over with. So we're going to finish up with Acts today. We will not pick it up again until the new year. We're going to look at Acts chapter 25. We're going to read the entire chapter this morning. But I'm going to do things a little bit differently than we have been. Normally we'll read sections and we'll go through that and we'll talk about that section. But I want to read the whole chapter for you. If you're in here, I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment, stand. And we're going to read through the whole chapter. And if you have to sit down, because it is a little bit lengthy, then you can sit down. But what I want to do is I want to focus in on one verse when we're done reading. So would you stand as we read through Acts chapter 25, verses 1 through 27. It is a narrative about Paul and his meeting, his encounter with Festus. At verse 1, it begins and says, 3 days after arriving in the province, Festus went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem, where the chief priest and the Jewish leaders appeared before him, presented their charges against Paul. They requested Festus, as a favor to them, to have Paul transferred to Jerusalem, for they were preparing an ambush to kill him along the way. Festus answered, Paul is being held at Caesarea, and I myself am going there soon. Let some of your leaders come with me, and if the man has done anything wrong, they can press charges against him there. After spending 8 or 10 days with them, Festus went down to Caesarea. The next day he convened the court and ordered that Paul be brought before him. When Paul came in, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him. They brought many serious charges against him, but they could not prove them. Then Paul made his defense. I have done nothing wrong against the Jewish law or against the temple or against Caesar. Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand trial before me there on these charges? Paul answered, I am now standing before Caesar's court where I ought to be tried. I have not done anything wrong to the Jews, as you yourself know very well. If, however, I am guilty of doing anything deserving death, I do not refuse to die. But if the charges brought against me by these Jews are not true, no one has the right to hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar. After Festus had conferred with his council, he declared, You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you will go. A few days later, King Agrippa and Bernice arrived at Caesarea to pay their respects to Festus. Since they were spending many days there, Festus discussed Paul's case with the king. He said, There is a man whom Felix left as a prisoner. When I went to Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews brought charges against him and asked that he be condemned. I told them that it is not the Roman custom to hand over anyone before they have faced their accusers and have had an opportunity to defend themselves against the charges. When they came here with me, I did not delay the case, but convened the court the next day and ordered the man to be brought in. When his accusers got up to speak, they did not charge him with any of the crimes I had expected. Instead, they had some points of dispute with him about their own religion and about a dead man named Jesus, who Paul claimed was alive. I was at a loss how to investigate such matters, so I asked if he would be willing to go to Jerusalem and stand trial there on these charges. But when Paul made his appeal to be held over for the emperor's decision, I ordered him to be held until I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, I would like to hear this man myself. He replied, Tomorrow you will hear him. The next day Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp and entered the audience room with the high-ranking military officers, the prominent men of the city. At the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. Festus said, King Agrippa, and all who are present with us. You see this man. The whole Jewish community has petitioned me about him in Jerusalem and here in Caesarea, shouting that he ought to not live any longer. I found he had done nothing deserving of death. But because he made his appeal to the emperor, I decided to send him to Rome. But I have nothing definite to write to his majesty about him. Therefore, I have brought him before you all, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that as a result of this investigation, I may have something to write. For I think it is unreasonable to send a prisoner onto Rome without specifying the charges against him. Thank you. You may all be seated, and may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. That was a lot. Today, I want to focus in on one verse, verse 19. In verse 19, Festus tells King Agrippa they had some points of dispute with him about their own religion and about a dead man named Jesus, who Paul claimed was alive. Here is the main thought of our message this morning. Jesus must become more than a dead man in the way that we live and the way that we present him to others. What do we mean by allowing Jesus to be more than a dead man? Well, I want us to look at three principles this morning that will help us let Christ live in us and through us. You see, there are many people out there who view Christianity and view Jesus as dead or irrelevant. There are some people who have had some bad experiences with the church or with Christians or with religion in general. And unfortunately, that colors their perception. That kind of leaves a bad taste in their mouth about who Jesus is. They say, after all, if this is what Jesus is like, then who needs him? Or after seeing how some so-called Christians live, they conclude that this whole thing must be a fraud and that it is only for those who are weak-minded. And still there are others, other people who have not had any bad experience with Christians or with churches, but they don't see how God has anything to do with their everyday lives. You know, he created all and he's off doing his own thing. And it's always troubling because I want people to know the Jesus that I know. I don't want them to miss out on a relationship with their Creator. I don't want them to miss out on forgiveness and on eternal life. But for many people, Jesus is a dead man who religious people like to talk a whole lot about. Some people are just waiting to see a Christian whose life really demonstrates the claims of their faith. If God is a loving God, can they see that love through us? If God is patient, how are we doing in that area? If God cares, do we? Unfortunately, sometimes the church has placed so much emphasis on believing the proper doctrines, all the rules, all the do's and the don'ts, that we've never really properly examined our lives to see if it is being lived out. So what is it that makes something relevant? Well, something is relevant when it helps to meet a need. Something is relevant when you cannot live without it. That would make air really relevant, wouldn't it? Something might be relevant if it helps me improve as an individual, you know, as a spouse or maybe as a parent or maybe in some other relationship. The bottom line is this. If the church cannot demonstrate how someone who died nearly 2,000 years ago can make a profound difference in a person's life, then we're just painting a picture of a dead man named Jesus. Now, I realize that no matter what you do, there are going to be many, many people who reject Jesus. Even when he is shown to be real, even when he is shown to be relevant. Festus did that. Festus, he was a pretty good ruler. He was one of the better rulers back in that day. But even after encountering the relevant Jesus Christ in the life of Paul, Festus view Jesus simply as a dead man. Someone who was dead even in his own life. Nothing to him. But even though there are some people who will reject Jesus, never making room for him, there are still others who will receive him, experience an awesome life change. And that's the power of the good news about Jesus. You know, lives are changed, hope restored, joy bestowed. There is the release of peace, and there is something more to live for, something greater than just yourself. And you see, that leads us to the second point. Many people have encountered the risen Christ. Now, we've already covered much of Paul's life as we've been working our way through the book of Acts. Paul, he had a very powerful encounter with Jesus when he was on the road to Damascus. But you know, up until that point, Paul had viewed Christ as a dead man named Jesus. However, when Jesus started talking to Paul, Paul was blinded by this light, just by the power of full encounter. And Paul's life, it was dramatically changed in that moment. He stopped persecuting the followers of Jesus. In fact, he became a follower of Jesus. Jesus became so relevant in Paul's life that every decision that he made from that point on involved hearing from the Lord and doing what it is that the Lord was calling him to do. Paul devoted the entire rest of his life sharing the good news about Jesus to men, women, to slaves, to freemen, to Jews, to Gentiles. Now, there are people sitting here today, either physically here or online, who have encountered the risen Christ. And to you, Jesus is more than just a story. He is more than someone who died 1,990 years ago. He is more to you than just a dead man named Jesus, whom some people still claim is alive. If you have encountered the risen Christ, then you know exactly what it is that I'm talking about. Your sins are gone. Your guilt is gone. You now have a reason to go on. Your fears are turning into victories. You've traded your despair for hope, your sorrows for joy. You're able to care more for others than even for yourself at times. Your desires are changing. Your habits are changing. You're beginning to experience the life that you've always wanted and the life that you were created for. And my advice to you is this. Don't stop. Be sure that you are encountering the risen Christ on a regular basis. You see, one shot is not enough. Once a week, it is not enough. Whatever you have to do, begin spending more and more time with him. Talk to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Worship him. Cry out to him. You can pour your heart out to him. Whatever you do, stay connected to the risen Lord. Don't let your relationship with Jesus Christ become past tense. Keep it updated. Stay current in your love for the Lord. And if you can do that, if you can keep working on that, you can keep growing and keep moving forward, and you'll be better prepared for the work that God has for you, the work that he is calling you to do. See, that leads us to the final point. Let's talk about the work that God has for us. What is it that God wants for you to do? Do you know that it is the mission of each and every believer to show that Jesus is alive? Now, if you've ever seen the show Mission Impossible or any of the movie series, you might remember that when the mission is presented to the top secret agent at the very beginning of it, there's either a phone booth or a tape drive or a flash drive or something like that. And the mission then is given to the agent, and then it starts to self-destruct. It goes up in smokes. The tape, the drive, whatever, it says, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is as follow. And then it goes on, explains what the mission is. And then the secret agent, he goes off to save the world. Well, each and every one of us have been given a mission. The interesting thing is that God gives us the freedom to choose whether or not we want to go on that mission. Now, God wants us to, there's no doubt about it, but he will not force us. Our greatest mission is to know God, to get to know God better and better, to glorify Him. However, as we get to know Him better, we begin to discover what is important to God. Do you know what's important to God? People. People are important to God. And that is why He gives us the mission to go out and tell other people about Jesus. Tell it to everyone that we can. God loves people. And He wants them to receive His gift of forgiveness, of eternal life. Our mission is to show people that Jesus is alive and that He really is who the Bible claims that He is. But what happens if we do not accept our mission? Well, rather than talking about all the consequences, just let me say that to refuse the mission that God has given to us would be totally inconsistent with who we claim to be. You see, if you claim to be a believer or a Christ follower or a Christian, then you're saying that you are following Jesus Christ. That means that you do what Christ does, that you follow after Him. The things that He cared about, you care about. See, He wants us to carry on the mission that He began when He was here. Letting people know that Jesus is alive, that He is real, even in my own life. Do they see Christ working in me and through me? So how do we do that? Well, we show people that Jesus is alive through a lifestyle of following after Him, doing the things that He did. We live in such a way that Jesus is visible in our lives. Jesus is alive in us, and He can make a difference in a person's life. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he said, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Paul goes on in another portion of Scripture, and he says, "For me to live is Christ." Basically saying, for me to live is to let Christ live in and through me. Now, I have to be transparent with you this morning. Sometimes I don't let Christ live in me or through me. Not the way that I know that I should. It's getting better. In this journey that I'm on, it gets better and better all the time. But there are times when I just let Val kind of pop through. My anger gets the best of me. You know, I'm out doing something and it's like, I'm just getting upset. I don't always like it. But sometimes that's the way it is when the old nature starts to pop its head up. Maybe you find yourself in the same boat at times. You know, it's hard to do what Jesus would do because I really want to do what I want to do, what the old nature wants to do. So the next time you start getting upset, the next time you feel that old nature coming through, let's try something. I want to challenge each one of us here. Take a few moments before you take matters into your own hands and ask yourself, is this Jesus responding or just me? Even before you have the chance to say something, to act, you know, the thoughts, they start to form in your head, and all of a sudden words just come flying out. But before you do, stop and ask yourself, is this Jesus thinking these thoughts about that other person, or is it just me? Is Jesus the one who is formulating these unkind words, or is it me? And then just whisper a simple prayer. Say, Jesus, help me to show that You are alive, not me. Now remember, Paul said that he died daily. Does that mean that he physically died? No, what he's talking about is he dies to his own desires, to his own self. And if we could somehow just stay dead to ourselves, it'd make it a lot easier to show that Jesus is alive. If my selfishness and my pride, my deceitful heart will just stay dead, then people will be able to see that Jesus is alive in me. Is Jesus alive in you? Or is He little more than a dead man named Jesus? You see, many people already view Jesus and Christianity as dead and irrelevant. But those who have encountered Jesus, in their own lives for themselves. They know that Jesus is alive and that he is powerful enough to change us. We somehow need to stay connected to him so that we can keep growing spiritually. And as we do that, he can help us to carry out the mission that he has for each and every one of us. So what picture does your life paint? Can people see that Jesus is alive and well? Or is he just a dead man named Jesus? Spend time with him today. Spend time with him on a regular basis. Is Jesus alive? Or is he just a dead man named Jesus?